In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Hey Koshi, what's up with this title of your sermon? Being Trump's doing. I have a couple of people ask me whether it sermon today had to do anything to do with Mr. Trump, the presidential candidate. And I said, no, categorically. It doesn't have anything to do with the name Trump. Now that I spilled the beans and took the suspense out of my sermon, I must say what it is about at the outset. What I would like to talk today is about our being, as opposed to be about our doings, about our relationship to Christ, or our being as Christians, as opposed to be about the big me, with all our accomplishments. Our being in relation to each other, in relation to our Creator, is more important than our doings and our accomplishments, even if they are great and wonderful. It is the quality of relationship that produces the quantity and quality of accomplishments, not the other way. Jesus was concerned about the quality of relationship his followers and disciples had with him. So he kept on talking about using different examples and metaphors, such as the vine and the branches, and eating his flesh and drinking his blood, etc. The materiality and the coarseness of these examples he used was a scandal and a stumbling block for some of his followers to continue the journey with him, and so they left him. So here the offer is to abide with Jesus, abide in Jesus. But what he asked the disciples and his followers was a little too much for them to be abide with Jesus. Yet a small group of disciples remained with him, and representing them, Peter said, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." In these words of confession by Peter, we hear a twinge of admission that the eternal life they are invited to participate in is indeed a gift or grace from God, and not a reward for their accomplishments or a mark of their importance. The fact that eternal life or salvation or abiding in Jesus is a gift or grace from God, and not something to be earned by your hard work or as a reward for your many accomplishments, is a scandal to many people. It is especially so in our society. It is scandalous in a society that is based on meritocracy. It is scandalous in a society that believes in the rugged individualism, or believe in the philosophy of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It is scandalous in a society where all lives don't matter equally, or where the demand for a level playing field to compete is considered a slippery slope to socialism. It is scandalous in a society of self-promotion and the ubiquitous selfies. David Brooks, in his recent book, The Road to Character, talks about this shift in our society. He observed that people used to say, "Nobody is better than me, but I am no better than anyone else either." To now, people say, "Recognize my accomplishments. I am pretty special." We hear these days in our airways, "I'm number one. I'm the best God has ever made. I can do anything I put my mind into it. I am truly special. I can make America great again." David Brooks says, our culture used to be self-effacing culture. Now it is a self-promoting culture. The gospel, the good news of God in Jesus Christ, is a scandal to many at our time, as it was at the time when Jesus walked here on earth. You recall the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus for eternal life and then went away from Jesus because he was told to sell everything he had and give to the poor before he can follow Jesus. Like the rich young ruler of the gospel, our society arrogantly claims that it can be utterly self-determining. It can be independent of God's grace, and it can be capable of redeeming itself and the history apart from God. There is no need for God. Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Jesus' body was broken for the brokenness of the world, and his blood was shed for the marginalized and the left out, the foreigner, the so-called illegals who work in our yards as laborers or work in the hotels and offices at night as maids. He died for the least, the last, and the lost. An invitation to come to the table to partake in the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ is an invitation to acknowledge our own brokenness, our utter need to have an abiding relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This table is scandalous and offensive for the overly self-confident, achievement-oriented, autonomous human beings. They would say, "Jesus, your teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" For us, broken people of God, what Eucharist tells is that Jesus loves us, and he longs for our company. So this morning, as we line up to take communion, know that Jesus wants us just as we are, without any pretensions, with all our brokenness, without any claim of being righteous, without any claim that I've been a long-time member of this church, or that I tithe to the church, or that I'm involved in the many different outreach activities of this church. Come to the table in your brokenness. Yesterday I had a baptism class and rehearsal with parents and godparents of Rowan and Finn, the babies who are going to be baptized in a few minutes. During our session, we talked about the 5 baptismal promises we make following the reading of the Apostles' Creed. The first of the 5 promises the parents and godparents and the congregation together make is this: will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? And then notice how we respond. I will, with God's help. It doesn't say we will with God's help. I will with God's help. Showing our individual responsibility for being part of this community. When you join an organization, there are certain norms you need to follow. If you don't, you won't be able to maintain your membership there anymore. However, the church is probably the only organization where a member is accountable to himself or herself for his or her attendance and participation in the church. No one is going to ask you, why didn't you go to church? Or why are you not involved? It's completely voluntary. It's completely up to an individual. It is not like a Rotary Club or a Lions Club or some other kind of clubs where you had to pay dues and you had to be involved to be a member. Otherwise, you are not. But that is not the case with the church. It is by belonging to this teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayers community, we maintain our relationship and our abiding faith in the risen Lord, our Jesus Christ. We do this every Sunday when we meet. And in our church, in the Episcopal Church, breaking bread is central. As you can see, the table right in the center of our worship space. That is, Eucharist is central to us. And just as Eucharist is central to maintaining our relationship to Jesus, baptism is the door through which we come into this relationship. Do you notice where we are all sitting right now in this worship space? We are sitting between the font in the back and the altar. It is between these two sacraments we sit in church. One to enter into the relationship and the other one to maintain your relationship, your abidingness with Jesus. We are sitting between these two sacraments, showing that you are a loving member of this congregation, of this church. And by bringing Rowan and Finn for baptism today, the parents and godparents are making a commitment in front of all of us, in the presence of God, that they want their babies to be raised in church. And as a congregation, we are making a promise that we do all in our power to support Rowan and Finn in their life in Christ. How do we do that in this church? First, we are a church welcome families with children, young children, with babies who can make as much noise as they want. And they are this part of this church, this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Second, when babies are about 3 years old, church offers a program called Children's Chapel where they learn to worship. And then they go to godly play classes to learn about the Bible stories. And when they get older, there is youth group and confirmation class, and children can also join treble choir. And they can also join the acolyte group to serve at the altar. There are many, many opportunities in the church to raise your children in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what this church offers. I pray that as parents and godparents and as a church, we don't fail Rowan and Finn in our promises and commitments to support them in their life in Christ. Friends, through baptism and weekly Eucharist, Jesus is calling us to enter into a relationship with him as we are. without any pretenses of the big me. Because Jesus wants us and longs for us to be in his company, just as Jesus is with his Father and God. Now the liturgies we use for baptism and Eucharist, which we are about to enter into, are very powerful. The language, pay attention to it, and let us experience how God is speaking to us through them, and see and experience God's love, God's yearning, God's longing for each one of us to be in his company.